What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Wings of Redemption. We're back with Painkiller Already, episode 45. This is a kind of special episode we got today because most of the regulars are not here. We do have a returning member, our all-time returning guest champion, standing in from Seattle, Washington. Introduce yourself.
Only if you played. Bam! I like that, man. I want to get into a... Like, I want to, like, have intro music or something. Like,
I like
that's
the delay
awesome.
In it. You're like, oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah. We also got,
I thought he was going to continue, like, Bruce Buffer, continue the intro, but I'm pumped. Thank you.
We also got our boy from Bama. What's up, Big Snacks?
Yes, damn it, I'm in the building. What's up, people?
These are going to be looking around Woody and Kyle. You guys can pick and choose which one you want to be. Put your action figures appropriately. But the special guest we have this week is from Next Gen Tactics. It is the creator of the Call of Duty Hub channel, Guns for Hire.
Hey, what's going on, people? It's good to be here. It's actually kind of exciting. It's fun to talk with these guys, especially all the stuff we talked about off air.
Yeah, the good.
And I am confirming that Guns for Hire is in his pajamas, damn it.
With a dress shirt. Pajamas and a dress shirt. Because that's all the camera picks up. No worries.
Is that like a custom-made onesie where it's just all one piece? Or
like they put on it to fucking high school?
Nope.
Yeah.
From the belly up.
But
I actually wear really red women's underwear. Just letting you know, putting that out there.
We actually planned on doing Painkiller Already live one time, and we're all going to rent like tuxedo with tails and top hats and sit on a couch.
Nice, nice. Formal. Gala evening.
Yeah. All right.
You should bring porn stars.
We were basically talking earlier when we first got into the chat about, you know, channels and people in your family that watches your channel and you tell them not to. And this brought me a story that I wanted to tell, but I wanted to save it for off camera.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For most people to know, I'm a very outspoken guy. I like
what?
What?
Come on, man.
Oh, let me collect myself. Wow, okay.
But for the most part, I tell it like I see it, and I cause it like I see it. And what happened is I have an Aunt Sandy, and she's married to like a military recruiter, and she's a real church-going lady. And her kids all are getting into Call of Duty. And my mother, which was in the store with me at the time, goes, "My son, he does Call of Duty videos. You should let your kids watch him."
Oh,
you should
yeah.
see my face like light up. 5-year-old.
You're like, no. X-Nay, no.
Do not let your kids watch this crap. It's not going to be good. They're going to have nightmares.
What happened then, Wings? Did they actually watch it?
I don't know. I was giving them the whole neck cut thing. Like, no, don't do that.
Never heard from them for 3 days because they were in church repenting the entire time. Get those images out of your head. Get the words out. He's evil.
Mommy, what's a motherfucker?
That's about the thing. Is, what's a fucking cocksucker or a mouthful of dick me?
Then they said, you were watching me and your father last night.
What did you say?
Oh. You were watching me and your father last night. You know, sometimes it's shocking, but sometimes it could be good for the kids to see what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, roughing them up. You know?
No, I'm just kidding. And that I don't want my kids fucking about that.
Let them build up the antibodies they can deal with
them
later
on. Instead of one. What do you guys...
Daddy, why were you kissing mommy there?
What do you guys think about sheltering kids?
What do you mean sheltering?
Sheltering kids, like
not letting them know the real world works. You mean
like real world works, like protecting them from like sex videos and bad language and violent video games. Sheltering kids, like what is your opinion on it?
Well, I'll tell you from
those are the ones that shoot the schools, man.
You know what?
Yeah, exactly.
The schools already have something loose, man. They're a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic, if you know what I mean, a brick shy of a load. Those dudes are ready to snap. They just needed a catalyst. I'll tell you a story, a personal story, because I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm all for, you know, letting the kids know reality and bringing them in slowly. But I'll tell you right now, I got 3 young boys, and I thought my oldest boy, who is now 8, would be ready to... I don't even put him on online. This was back when I was playing Call of Duty 4. And I thought, ah, whatever, man. He's like 6 years old or whatever. And, you know, maybe he's old enough to sort of, I wanted him to get used to the controls, like just to the jumping in with first party or first person shooter games. So I brought him into a private match, just him and I, and we were just running around shooting off weapons. I wasn't even touching him. I didn't shoot him or anything. I just tried to get him used to it. I'll tell you not a word of a lie, that night, the dude was freaked out. He was like hysterical. He woke up at 3 a.m. He popped up, friggin' my wife was angry as hell at me. I got in and she's like, listen to your son. And he was like, I don't even think he was fully awake, but he was ranting and he was like, he's like, daddy, my gun won't work. All I can see is red. My dad, my gun won't work. And I'm like, and honestly, it was like, to me, every other time I was like, man, the ratings are bullshit. Who cares? Expose them to it. They see it on TV. But seriously, when I saw my son like that, I was like, holy crap. Like, maybe.
Yeah, he's a noob. He's a noob. Maybe. I can't.
Maybe there's
your
some.
Your son's a noob at Call of Duty. Like, I would be devastated.
Maybe there's some legitimacy to this, you know, that they shouldn't be exposed. And honestly, from that moment on, I have actually sheltered him. I was totally against that, you know, to a certain degree. Like, I'm not going to show him a porno, for God's sakes. But, like, anytime he has a question about anything, even now, like, I actually showed him, like, one of those videos of childbirth. And he's starting to ask. I mean, he's only 8 years old, but I want the dude to be educated. I don't want him to go up to a girl, like, when he's at the age and not know what he's doing. I want him to, you know, I want him to have a head start.
You want him to put it down. I get it.
That's it.
Yeah, you want him to know, but you don't want to give him too much information, and you don't want him to find out from the knuckleheaded friends that
That's
didn't learn
exactly.
anything from their parents.
They don't know shit. Yeah.
Question, I tell him the absolute truth. I tell him the absolute truth. I do not shelter him. I don't lie about it. And sometimes he gets freaked out by it. But afterwards, he's okay with it. You know what I mean? But I think there are certain things. Like, I mean, even like House. You know that show House MD?
Yeah.
Yeah, that show there. I mean, we've been letting him stay up because he's the oldest, right? So we let him stay up and we let him watch this show. And the other night, it was funny. They went into some sort of dream state and he was killing zombies. Right? So I'm like, ah, that's funny. And he was freaked right out. Like, I wasn't even watching him. I turn over and he's like covering his eyes, like, oh, I don't watch this anymore. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, it's just like a friggin' sitcom, or not a sitcom, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a TV show, for God's sakes. And for the last two or three nights, he hasn't been able to sleep. He has the light on. So I'm telling you, dude, there's some legitimacy to it, and I didn't think it was before. I was totally against it.
I gotta interject here. When I was eight years old, I would rent VHS tapes from the horror section, and it wouldn't bother me at all.
From the horror section?
Yeah, I've loved horror
and
sci-fi.
I'm not surprised.
Well, that explains it all, man, right there.
Yeah.
That explains it all right there. That's why you're so freaking dark now.
Yeah.
No.
I was watching Look Who's Talking. Wings is over there watching some massacre shit.
Jason Voorhees slam a flying V into a girl's head. I mean, but the fact is, it's what I found entertaining. I'm like, I can't sit down and watch like fucking Young and the Restless. I can't do it. I mean,
no.
It's like an effort in futility. I got to watch something sci-fi or horror that's not of this world, or I can't be into it. Like,
you're telling me that you watched Young and the Restless and then you decided not to like it after, because I'd never watch it. I'm just curious, what's the show like, Wings?
Yeah.
Well, I watched bits and parts of it, because...
Does bits and parts mean, like, some seasons on DVD that you watched? Or
the last season or two, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, Wings.
Really, though, Wings, you gotta understand, like, your ability that... How young were you when you watched those videos?
Shit, 5 to 8, somewhere in that ballpark.
I remember watching Carrie, you know, the Stephen King.
Yeah.
I remember sneaking out of my room when I was a kid, when I lived in a horrible part of Toronto, actually. But when I woke up or whatever, and I watched, and all I saw the ending, you know, when the hand friggin' blasts out of the friggin' grave and grabs her.
Yeah.
God, I couldn't sleep for like 2 weeks. I had nightmares at the wazoo. So I think you are a unique individual. Let's put it. That's a nice way of saying it, right?
Yeah, but see, not, at age 12, I already had my first gun.
Unique.
God damn. Really?
I think most kids would be freaked out, man.
Yeah.
You should like that. They're going to be freaked out. Maybe you had your head on, your shoulders early. Like, you could differentiate between fiction and reality.
Well, let me interject here.
Yeah.
I got more terrified of videos. Like, I'd put cover my face with my hands and stuff at a younger age than I lost at an older age. But I've never, maybe it's because I never experienced that. I never believed in that whole, you know, spiel that, you know, psychology gets sets in. Yes, you can have subliminal stuff like your son dreaming, and he's dreaming about playing Call of Duty, and he's still in that sleepwalk state where he's panicking.
But he does that a lot.
I see this in the same aspect. You had the Hitler Youth. I don't know if you know about the Hitler Youth. Hitler Youth was basically at the age of like 10, they were training these guys to be soldiers. Straight up, they were taking them out of their house. They were
propaganda, brainwashing, giving them information or whatever
they were teaching them to shoot rifles. Like they would break them up into squads of four, and they'd go play hide and seek. But when they found another squad, they had to fight each other until nobody could stand. Fist fight without gloves on.
Hey guys, I got to use the bathroom. I'll be back.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I'm like maybe there's just rare cases and people are blowing them out for proportion. Like your son, he's got an overactive brain, because generally when somebody has like sleepwalks and, you know, moves around.
He is very active. Dude, he's like borderline hyperactive. I'll tell you that right now. But, crazy, crazy active.
But like he has a very vast imagination, and that's what is happening to him. That's why he takes the Call of Duty 4 stuff, and he just can't stop thinking about it. When he goes to sleep, he's still thinking about it, and his body just keeps doing it. I think that's that the game is influencing him. I think he'd be influenced by pretty much anything that you gave him that was stimulus.
Because his brain is... Yeah, no, you know what? I actually see your point on that. I do see your point on that. Because you know what? Actually, if I'm thinking about it, I watched... Okay, and I hopefully this isn't being recorded. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's being recorded. My middle son, who's even younger, right?
Yeah.
I watched, what is it, Zombieland? You know the one where they... with
Woody Harrelson?
The hell is his name? Woody Harrelson. Yeah. Oh, and they slaughter... My middle son watched that with me, and he was like, are those zombies? And he was fine. He didn't have one nightmare. That dude sleeps soundly. He's not near as hyper as my older son. And you're right. He didn't have a single dream. He didn't even mention the movie or anything else a day later. It's like it just went out of his memory. You know what I mean? Whereas my older son, he watches one thing, and it's like days or weeks, and that image keeps haunting him. Whereas my other son's like, whatever, yeah, I saw that guy chewing on her neck and whatever, I'm gonna go and play Lego Star Wars or something, you know what I mean? So I do see your point, Wings. I think I hate to say this, but I think I agree with you. You know what I mean?
Dude, I watched doggone Friday, the first Friday the 13th that ever came out when I was a kid. I watched that movie. Went to the movies with my brothers and my sisters. Watched that movie. Came home and ate. Laid in my bed for like 3 hours. Scared, freaking. Jimmy, did not go to sleep. Stayed up all night.
You're like, is that going to happen? Is that for real?
Freaking with the lights on. My father got up that morning and asked me, son, what in the hell is, man, I watched that movie. I think they did not let me watch a scary movie for like 3 or 4 years after that.
So you messed yourself up.
Well, now I'm not no punk, but then I was punk like a motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie. Shit, man.
But maybe it's conditioning, though. I mean, look at the nations like Sudan or whatever, like in very, very turbulent and violent countries and certain regions of Africa where they actually go and they take the children super young and teach them to shoot weapons. Like they bring them into the military. I mean, the exposure to violence at an early age maybe sort of calms them, so it's not as dramatic. Like, I mean, you show a horror film to those kids, they probably wouldn't think anything of it. You know what I mean? They'd be like, whatever.
The same thing as The Exorcist. The Exorcist back in the day was like the scariest shit ever. Now I consider watching it and like they'd have no scare scenes in it. It's like, what? She's bouncing up and down on the bed. It's because I've come from this generation that is so attuned to seeing violence on TV that I'm numb to it.
Yeah. No, I hear you, and I agree. But I mean, don't we want it? Do we want to sort of do that? I mean, I like the reality. The way I look at the world is it's a very hostile place, no matter how you paint it. Even us doing this in our comfort of our home, the bottom line is each and every single one of us is battling for comfort and survival in this, regardless as to whether or not you got health benefits or anything like that. It's an individual. At the end of the day, no one, you know, outside is going to give a shit about your life. It's a constant fight for survival. You want that job versus the next guy. You know what I mean? As much as you love your neighbor, if you're going for the same job, you want that goddamn job, not him.
Well, see, if my neighbor went for the same job as me, he's going to have an accident that day to not make the interview.
Yeah. Now, that's more of a wings transition right there.
Something
would more than likely happen to the guy than the guy just not get the job. Wings flatten all his tires, put sugar in his gas tank, poison his damn dog. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that, Wings would do.
You know, I heard, Wings, you could actually put him between two pieces of chain link fence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Float him down the river.
It's going a little long for a job. It depends how much the job pays.
Oh, it does it?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's friggin' hilarious.
You know, $50,000, I might throw like a Twinkie over the fence.
Are you there? Or are you just in awe?
No, I'm here.
You're just like, I don't know what to say to that, because that is messed up.
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in right there. Yeah.
You should have seen me around when I used to work at a steel mill. And, oh, man, I can't stand seeing somebody go ahead of me at anything. It's like... it's like that fucking cocksucker right there does not do as much work as I do, and you know.
See, I'm the opposite. I try to figure out how to do very little work, and so I'm just like, okay.
You accept probably that
he probably outplayed me. He probably worked harder. That's cool. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, guys. Thanks. No. Go ahead. Go ahead without me. It's cool.
See, I always grew up
on try hard mode.
I always grew up thinking if. You don't give your 110%, you have no reason to bitch. And I love to fucking bitch. So I give my 110%.
And then you bitch.
Yeah, I bitch. I bitch a fucking lot. I bitch like a
dude, I ain't giving 110%. I'm still going to bitch. I don't care. You know? If you got an opinion, might as well voice it. It's like the same thing with voting. If you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. Well, you know what? I think that's bullshit. Because, you know, I know you guys are in the U.S. and everything like that, but it's the same thing up here, more or less. I know there's a different politics. I mean, you guys are crazy diehards, and usually, most part, I'm not saying you particularly, but in general, you're like crazy either Republican or Democratic, and then the rest of them are evil bastards. Up here, half the time we don't even give a shit who the hell's in power, and that's why I don't vote. I'm still going to complain because all of the dipwads and all of our parties that are running... They're all saying the same thing, and they're all going to lie at the end of the day, and they don't do really any harm or any good to our country at the end of the day, so I'm like, I don't give a shit.
You know,
they're all a bunch of freaking politicians, man.
The reason I vote, so when somebody fucking fails, like Obama, I can say, yep, I picked right, because I voted for McCain.
right. It doesn't matter.
Obama is a weak fucking president, super weak. He is one of the weakest presidents we've ever had in the terms of political power. And
yeah, but picking the president's not the same as picking the Knicks Heat game. Like, it's not the same thing. Like,
there's a huge difference. I mean, for example, Obama basically, I was going to say it, he got there because he's black. If he did not have the
skin. What is the safe word? Did we ever talk about this?
No, this isn't racist.
We don't have a freaking safe word for this guy, man.
Well, now.
No. But the fact is, if Obama was a white guy and had the same ideals, McCain would have destroyed him. Do you not agree?
Well, I'm not saying that you're completely wrong, and I'm not saying, as an outsider, I'm in Canada. Believe me, we follow American politics very closely because what happens there ends up happening here. You know what I mean? Like the ramifications of everything and all the deals were very closely tied to you, so we all follow American politics closely. And I'm not saying that there isn't a possibility that his ethnicity would have had something to do with it. It was, I mean, look at what happened when he went into office. It rippled around the world more so than any other election. But I'm not saying that that's necessarily why he went in there. I mean, when I listen to his speech, I'm an outsider, okay? Because I'm not, you know, and I'm not.
The man's a smart man. He speaks well.
His speeches are amazing. His speeches are spectacular, and he's not a dumb man at all. I think it was his gift of word. And you know, maybe what he promised. I mean, what people heard him promise.
What did he promise?
Well, I don't really remember.
Well,
I said,
you don't remember. But, all right, big snacks. What did he promise?
What does every president promise? Every president promises.
What did Obama promise? We're talking about how much his word is solid gold. Better
pull the money, out of the
bullshit that never happens. Every president is going to the same freaking lie. The country's going to end up the same way every time. It's a freaking recycle. That's all it does is recycle itself.
All right. Wings. Okay.
I got you.
What the president is like the is the face.
Yeah, he,
you know what I mean? Like
the PR.
You know how everyone,
what the president
you know,
is. I'm not a stupid
yeah.
man.
He's the JD 2020 of America
but the fact
right
is,
now. Okay?
People
don't do.
He's got more power than like a model than what Dr. Disrespect's gonna have. He does have a veto power, and you might think there's like an Illuminati and all this other bullshit behind the scenes, which there might be. I don't know, but I'm only speaking for what I can see. And for what I see, Obama has done nothing in office. And for what I see, and the reason I see
yeah, but I don't think he has like panic. He doesn't have like panic power. It's not like if someone looks at him the wrong way, he's like dead. You know what I mean? It's not. Like,
you don't think
it's
so?
Not like that.
You don't think so?
Look at dude. Okay,
no.
if that was
fucking George Bush. He wanted to invade Iraq, so we invaded Iraq, and he can do that without a war clause because he is president of the United States and he can do it for, what is it, 60 days before having to get a clause for war?
Yeah.
That dude was high the whole time he was in office, though, bro. Like
is,
he was.
If the president wants you dead, your ass is dying. There is.
It's quite possible.
There is power in that office. There is power in that
chair. I don't want any panic vetoes. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Not throwing his race out the thing. As a president standing alone, he's done about as much as like Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln didn't do shit to like the last year of his presidency, and I'm hoping Obama proves me wrong and does the same thing Abraham Lincoln did.
And you should do. That's exactly a good point there, Wings. I mean, you know what I admire you? I'll tell you
hell?
Now. Right, I'm an outside. Listen. This is what I say. As an outsider, honestly, I admire you as Americans. I admire you for the passion, for the most part. I'm not saying every single time, but the passion you have for your president. Because I'll tell you right now, that shit does not exist here in Canada. We see our prime minister, we don't even give a crap. I mean, friggin' Harper.
Hey,
I think,
not all Americans are like that. I just found out Obama was president like a week ago.
Listen, my sister worked down there. When I travel in the U.S., I see American flags on porches, on more houses. You come up to Canada, you don't see Canadian flags. You see an flag, you see a Jamaican flag, you see whatever country, wherever they're from. No one really gives a crap about Canada. It's a melting pot. But I, honest to God, admire you for the most part. For the most people, when I'm driving down there, like if I'm going to Florida or whatever, I see friggin' American flags everywhere. And when you talk about your president, put it this way. Let me ask you this, Wings. If some terrorist right now, friggin' for whatever reason, say Obama was overseas in some summit or whatever, and some fucking terrorist, and I'm sorry for swearing, but I'm getting into the moment here, but if some terrorist...
That's the alcohol.
Took Obama hostage. Do you not, as an American, get friggin' enraged and say this shit?
You don't rattle a bulldog's cage. You don't do it. Japan did it. They lost. Iraq did it. They lost.
That's what I'm saying, though. Even though you have things against Obama, you would stand for his life.
I don't dislike Obama as a man. I'm just saying, the better man lost the fight. I mean, John McCain, he was a war veteran. He was a prisoner in Hanoi. He has 5,000 years in politics. I don't know how old he is.
Yeah.
He's old as shit. But the fact is that man's dream to become president, and he didn't get it because Obama had the race card on his side, and he also had... He also came in during a bad Republican term. McCain's Republican, and Bush was Republican, and people just wanted to hate Republicans when they came in.
No, I agree with you. They want to, you know what? That's the same though. It happens up here. That's politics, right? Yeah. It's not even
exactly.
It's not even necessarily who's in charge. So while your statement, see, that's going back on your statement about the fact that he was sort of African American, that he got in. Maybe that had something to do with it, but I think it was more to do with the fact
that. I think I see that more down here because in the South it's predominantly black, and you see a lot of people. I'm voting for Obama. Why are you voting for Obama? Because he's black.
Wings, you are an awesome person.
No, I'm just saying. That
oh, stop with the compliment.
I ask that question a lot down here because I live in an area that's 80% African American. I grew up in this area. And
yeah.
And I pretty you pretty much try to talk politics with these guys, and you're just like, well, what's Obama's views? They don't know. Did you watch his state of address? No. I mean, but they just wanted to support it so they could finally see history made.
If you watch, I did a gun, what is it? I think a, what the hell do I even call it? An 8-ball episode. You know where I answer the questions? People ask me, like.
You call it an 8-ball episode?
The 8-ball. You know the, no, not, I know, not an 8-ball of cocaine. I'm
what's up, guys? Guys from Harvard here. How you doing? Okay, we're going to play some
I'm really juiced up, man. Wow. I'm talking
about that? Did you see that dragon over there? Oh, my God.
That'll be the speedball edition, damn it.
Yeah.
When you shake it, when you shake the 8-ball and you ask it a question, that's what I was talking about. But you're right. I know I know the reference. But I don't even know what you're talking about now. You got me talking about cocaine, and I don't even know what the hell it was.
I'm talking about 8-ball episode.
Yeah, but it was something relating to what you were saying about... Oh, my God, you totally threw me off. I need another burger.
It's cocaine kicking in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the inner addict speaking out. Fucking scratching
yourself. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Peanut butter crack sandwich?
Hey, you know what? Hey, fellow addict, you want to take a shot right now? I'm down. You down?
You know, I don't have any. I got to go up. I'm just going to bring my whiskey bottle down here. It'll be a lot easier.
Yeah. I thought you had any.
Why am I going up and down the stairs? My wife taking.
No, me and Jaeger are split-screen this podcast right now, just letting you know.
Really?
Like, yep.
I'd totally bring it, because I'm recording this on my camcorder, or my webcam as well. But I don't...
Come on. I gotta take a flight, man. I can't...
All right,
turn the camera on so it don't get the onesie when you get up.
Yeah.
I say something to the wing zone, I just remember what I was saying. You're saying that these people don't know what they're talking about. I think that's the consensus of most of society. Most of society has no idea what the hell they're voting for. Most people vote simply because of what their parents vote. Their parents say, I'm Republican. This is why I hate these people. And as you grow up in that environment, you sort of tend to, in most cases, not always, but you tend to take on those roles, and you tend to hear what everyone else is saying. I guarantee you most people that go to the voting polls have no goddamn idea what the party stands for, whether they support, you know, self-employment versus manufacturing versus healthcare versus private healthcare. These people have no idea. They get swept up like sheep in propaganda. You know what I mean? And it's no different. It's not just where you're from, Wings. I think it's the general nation. And I'm not talking like, I'm not in the U.S., but, I mean, it's statistical. It's probably in the U.S. as well. Here in Canada, I mean, it's ridiculous. That's why, partly, I don't vote. Half these people have no goddamn idea what they're voting for. They have no idea whatsoever.
You know what gets me red-faced mad when I see it? When I see, I watch these Fox News.
When a ghost man pop up behind you and kill the shit out of you.
That gets my blood boiling right there, but...
Hey, when the host is in Sweden, does that piss you off? Okay.
But I'm talking about Obama did something great on his first term. He tried to push for universal health care. And every motherfucker around here was crying about it. And even I get in this argument with Kyle all the fucking time. I'm like, dude, why would you not want health care to be taxed and be run just like any other government-run thing, like the police, the fire department, the city road work? Why wouldn't you want...
Because he's a healthy person that makes hella money. That's why. Like, why would he want to pay for something? Like,
I mean,
why would I want to pay extra taxes so that you... No, it's not... Yeah, it is selfish. That's American, though.
But I'm looking at it this way.
Fuck everybody else.
I'm American.
Yeah, but see,
this country was founded upon selfishness.
Yeah, fuck the dumb shit.
But look here.
You think I care about my fellow man? No.
Big guy, like, hey, out of here. You might make all the money in the world. You know, 3 or 4 hard tax back-to-back clean your bank account out. That shouldn't happen. You know, you should not build your entire life up just to have a bad bout with, like, let's say you have, like, a liver problem or something. You had to get half your liver took out.
Mm.
Or just some health
bankrupt
problem.
Bankrupt you.
And just
bankrupt
your ass. You gotta buy pills and all this other shit. And that
you know in Canada it's free, right?
Yeah, it's free and everywhere else in the world, too.
Then I'm moving to Canada. I'm kicking it with guns. What's up?
I mean, it is quite disturbing to think that, like, I mean, we watch stories all the time, and quite frankly, you know, we are one of the highest tax countries in the world. I think we're 13th in the world in terms of taxes, and we do pay a lot of taxes. But at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, you have a heart attack, you have a stroke. The only thing you're doing is hoping to God the doctors can help you. There's no bill at the end of the day. You get whatever help you get, whatever surgery. There's nothing. There's no charging you for anything. You just get the treatment and you walk away. I mean, there's something, and I know a lot of countries are like that, like the UK, France. Denmark, the Scandinavia, Sweden. I mean, that's a borderline socialist republic. Like, I mean, Sweden and Denmark, I mean, those countries they're in, like in Scandinavia, they don't even pay for college. Like, as a person or a citizen of those countries, if you want to go to university or college, everything is paid for by the state. You have zero medication. You don't even see that. You know what I mean?
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. But they pay a lot in taxes, and until you can convince the general population in the U.S. to say, you know what, everyone chip in a little bit, because when you need it, it's going to be there, and you don't have to worry about it. But I think too many times the big rollers, the big people sponsoring these governments, step and say, no, you don't need to be doing that, because they're well off.
He's buying out votes and putting these anti-health. Right. Shit out talking about, you got to stand in line, you got to wait 3 months. You know, I've never heard anybody from another country say they hated their healthcare system. And You know what I have seen? I've seen the stats on fucking bankruptcy in America.
Nope, not anymore.
But it's 58%.
Nope.
It's 58% of every bankruptcy case filed in America is because of medical means. 58%.
Yeah.
That's from my boy Al Franken. Al Franken should be our next president. That's just my opinion.
Oh, Lord.
You got something to say about Al Franken, Big Snacks? Spit it out.
Not Al Franken.
No, like,
not Al Franken. Step up to the plate. Let's
do it. Our party.
I'm going to get my bourbon, and I'll be right back.
That's what's up. Let's do
this. We got about Al Franken, Big Snacks.
Man, Al Franken is crazy, man.
You don't think he'd be a good president?
Even though half of the shit he say is more partially true, but it's just his delivery. You know what I'm saying? And that's all in politics is your delivery.
That motherfucker cold. True enough. He delivers that shit cold to you.
Yeah, he delivers it cold, but most people, we live in a politically correct society. People can't accept raw facts anymore. You have to bullshit and give it to them in baby steps so they can feel better about themselves, so they can hug each other and pat each other on the back and tell everybody it's going to be all right. If you go out there and tell a little kid right now that plays football, he might suck, but if you got to go out there and tell him he's great, because his mom and dad are paying their money, and they don't want their kids' feelings hurt. Everybody gets a trophy for playing freaking football, because can't nobody accept the freaking truth anymore. And that's the society we live in, you know what I'm saying? Everybody,
Good job, Donnie.
A bunch of sissies. We soft as hell, and we going to shit in hell in a handbasket, because we suck. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell people the truth anymore.
You guys have a great nation. I just think, you know what's awesome about it though? As powerful as you guys are, and this is the way I look at it, is as a business. I look at the United States as a business, and as powerful and amazing as you guys are in the world, because everybody, you know, knows the power of the U.S. Nobody, no country in this world doesn't know the power of the U.S. But the beauty of it is that you still have room and decades ahead of you where you can improve the country. It's only going to get better. That's the way I look at it.
It's never going to get better until they outlaw medicine on TV and things of that nature.
But they're going to do that, though, man.
There's so much money into it.
I'm an optimist. You're a guy who shoves people between chain-link fences. But together, I think we can create a great America. You know what I'm saying, Wings?
There's a happy medium in between those two.
The fact is, they have to take like the fucking Viagra and shit off TV. There's no reason.
Who is that hurting?
No. Listen. There's no reason.
It's hurting the old man because he won't be able to get them.
No. Here's the thing. Why do you need medicine advertised on TV? Answer me that.
Because it's business name.
Because it's a business. Like,
you know what? It's funny you mentioned Viagra. I get those goddamn emails from my website every day.
Why do you need medicine? Tell me. Like, when you see medicine on TV.
To get better.
All right? When you have a problem, such as peeing
or
an erection, you go to your doctor. What does the doctor do? He subscribes
to medicine,
right? He gives you a little pamphlet to take to your pharmacist. So
it's kind of genius. Wait, it's kind of genius, though.
Why do you need to see that on TV? Here's the thing: they show it to you on TV, so you go ask your doctor, so you get shit.
If I can't get hard, I go watch TV. It's perfect sense. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
now how do I get this thing up?
No, come on, dude. Like, TV. Okay, first off, we all know that drugs and medication, stuff like that, it's a business. If not, there's no drug that's gonna like there's not one pill that you could take that would be like, oh, everything's better, because you know what? They would never sell that because it's only a one shot deal. It's more of a business to sell you stuff that you'd have to take once a week or once every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, it's a continuous thing. So like,
why we've only cured polio and nothing else.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what, we could probably make cars that can drive off of bad thoughts, but we're not able to have that, because what they'll do is they'll curb it. They'll just be like, no, that's impossible.
No, because if we make cars that drive off of bad thoughts, Wings will be driving everyone's shit.
He'd have a Ferrari. He'd be like, yeah. My car.
Yeah. Welcome to the Wings Redemption NASCAR Convention, driven by my grandpa.
38 cars driven by one person, and everybody's going to crash on the final freaking lap, right in front of the finish line.
Yeah. Wings are running out of gas. Go play Black Ops for one round and come back to us. Okay, let's go. Boom. Hey,
I got a question. Maybe you guys can answer this, because I can't remember who brought it up, but one of you mentioned Dr. Disrespect, and I recently found out that how it happened, I didn't even know this was actually even available, but apparently he's the community manager for Modern Warfare 3. What do you mean you can't talk about
that? No, he's not. He's the community manager for Sledgehammer, and they don't even know if Sledgehammer's going to do the new one.
The reason we can't talk about that is Machinima contract.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. I'm not going
to
bring it up.
That being said, though, I think Dr. Disrespect is an amazing person. Big up to you, bro.
I think Guns for Hire is trying to disrespect Slick Daddy.
No. Bring back Commando. Okay, bye. Yep, there we go. Sorry, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's right. Bring back Commando.
Is Dr. Disrespect going to do his interviews for the Mat Packs as Dr. Disrespect and Slick Daddy?
Now, that's an interesting question.
I respect him as a person, and he's free to do whatever he wants. I think he's going to be a great community manager.
Oh,
God. I know. I'm trying to be buddy-buddy with him. Fuck the dumb shit.
Get in good.
If I say something bad about Dr. Disrespect, they might just take the knife completely out of the game or something. Like, oh, this will show him.
I'm trying to get a knife took out of the game. What the hell are you talking about? Have your ass maybe running around with a gun hitting people in the head with it?
You all seem to know a lot about Dr. Disrespect, but I gotta be completely honest. I know the name, but I don't even know him. I don't know any of his videos. I've never seen any of his videos. I don't know anything about him, to be quite honest with you.
He has 120 seconds. I know him. He's a cool dude.
Yeah,
he's great.
Dr. Disrespect, him and Slick Daddy is my dudes. Slick Daddy is the coolest sidekick to have. Damn it.
Honestly, though, once you're done with the podcast, go check out Dr. Disrespect, because I think it's funny.
What is his style? Like, what does he do? Like, I honestly don't know. Tell me.
Imagine 80s porn addict meth head with the mustache.
That thinks he's the best player ever to incorporate Ed the controller.
Super troll, and talking in third person with 2 minute long intros. That's Dr. Disrespect, and it's pretty epic. Like I think it's
heard what I need to hear. I'm gonna go and check it out. To be quite honest,
his videos are very entertaining. He puts a hell of a lot of work into them. I know that.
Yeah.
All right, Big Snacks, I'm just letting you know you're not getting in the Sledgehammer. You don't have to kiss his ass. It's all right.
Oh, I know I'm not getting in the Sledgehammer. There's no freaking way they're going to let it go.
Yeah.
If I go, I'm taking Wings and Jay stay with me, damn it.
Oh, man. So I remember Woody filed for the same position as the community manager for Modern Warfare 3. But here's the question I have.
I remember reading that.
He filed late, though. Like, he pretty much...
Late.
Disrespect, pretty much already had it, and then, but Woody didn't know that. You know, that was all under wraps.
I didn't even know about this. How the hell are you finding this information? Where can I get more involved with this damn community instead of staying in my basement in my pajamas with my one?
Oh,
shameless plug.
Famous plug.
Dude, I'm not. Oh my god. Someone needs to be fed to the gators. I got a question too.
Are we taking this shot? Hey, we taking this shot, man, or what's up?
Yeah, we can do a shot. Dude, my.
Yeah, just now starting to drink.
Oh, I've been drinking, bro.
Yeah, I've been drinking.
That's gonna burn my throat. Like, this is stronger than Jaeger. This is like.
Oh yeah, I've never claimed that Jaeger was like some super potent shit.
It's 94 proof. It's like some nice, expensive bourbon. But I'm gonna do a shot with you right now, and actually, all of my subscribers can see me doing it. So I don't even know if this is legal over the internet, but I'm gonna do it with you.
You're in your own home. Oh yeah.
Shut down. All right. So on three, 1, 2, 3.
Oh man, there we go. Ah,
that's a good
hair on your balls.
Some hair on your
balls.
That's
a good.
I mean, you guys are talking like that. I mean, we had a discussion last week about hair on a man. Men should be hairy. They should have chest hair. They should have back hair. They should have face hair.
Why should you have hair, back hair?
Because shush, big snacks. I'm hearing this fella out because I'm hairy like a goddamn gorilla.
Because
and
real
I like
men are hairy. Lumberjacks are hairy. Pirates are hairy. Men with positions of power are hairy.
Okay, I got a quick question. Who is you're the pro hairy guy? Who is the bald body guy? Who's repping that camp? They need to have some representation.
The fucking Ben Affleck. Like,
who are you? Who are you? Yeah, I'm
air conditioner.
Pineapple now.
What is the safe word? Yeah, pineapple. But you have to think though, man. Like, who's disagreeing with you though? Like, yeah, okay, the like as you call them, the metrosexual faggots or whatever. Okay, they like shave. Let them shave. Like, I don't care. It doesn't bug me.
What kind of man shaves
his
body?
You look more manly. How would you like to look like a fucking Ewok or a Munchie Chi with hair all over your fucking body? Hair on your back. Hair on your chest. Hair on your face.
Wait. One place that you should have hair, you shave it, but the rest of it, like,
yeah,
so you're like an upside down Etch-a-Sketch, is what you're saying.
Dude, I drool on my pillows at night and I get cowlicks, so I gotta shave my hair off.
Dude, like, listen, I'm a hairy guy for the most part.
I'm hairy as fuck.
But for the parts that we all have here, I trim that shit up. I don't want it like all Amazon.
You could trim your shit up, but the fact is, if you go shave your armpits and shave your chest, shave your back. That hair is there for a reason, motherfucker. It's because you a man. You got testosterone in your blood.
Yeah, it's there for a reason, but make you feel close to
you like an Amish dude.
Hey, you say I look like an Amish dude. That's
put one of them black hats on wings, he'll look like an Amish dude, I guarantee you.
Everybody seen my picture.
Upside down Etch-a-Sketch. There we go.
But the fact is, I got a biker beard. I'm growing a lumberjack beard.
Yeah,
it's twice as big as it was in that picture.
Like full, chop. Like,
where is this going and where is this coming from?
I forgot.
So you came out the gate super passionate about it, and I'm like, I'm with you.
Where it's going to is this? You know, you see these magazines with these men with the skinny ass bodies with like no body fat. You know, no body fat is bad for you. It's unhealthy. You have like 4% body fat. Body fat.
Yeah, women hate that. They hate that. They hate those guys that are ripped and they see the six pack. They practically vomit.
No, but you see that. But see, that can only exist in the culture.
They're always getting in the way of fat dude magazines. All the fat boy magazines are always pushed the back for all these good looking dudes.
No,
let's put out a YouTube gamer magazine.
It's
a calendar.
It's real
off. Back in the day, girls like a guy that was big and hairy that could protect them. Go out there and kill the fucking animal for the lunch.
Viking.
Nowadays, they want the nails perfect. They want no facial hair.
Women don't want to do that's too feminine, though, bro. Like, we could have some upkeep.
I'm telling you, the women nowadays.
Come on, dude. Like,
I know there's some girls watching my watching this as well, but the fact is
all
that
all seven of those. There we go.
Do not unbutton your onesie. Keep your damn onesie on. We know you live streaming with your camera and shit over there, but you keep that damn onesie on. Your wife come downstairs and beat the hell out of you.
See, my goatee is friggin' getting longer and longer. I'm getting ready. Now you're talking, this is what I want to say to you. You're talking about a big Viking beard. Now, my goatee is getting long. I'm about to braid and put dreads in this. Now, does that put me in metrosexual sort of status, you know what I mean? Is that like buffing my nails and stuff? Because I'm going to put beads and dreads in my beard.
Is when you actually go into your bathroom and wonder which conditioner you should use.
But I use a conditioner on my beard. I'm just saying, dude. I want it nice.
You know what I do on my beard? I brush that bitch out.
That's hair, dude. You have to wash it.
You wash that with soap.
That's on your face.
You have to keep clean and shit.
You wash your face. You take the these
damn
rag, you
these damn
the beard,
soap
dude.
Users. I'm so sick of these clean soap using condition cleansing bastards.
Honestly, the first thing I do when I get in the shower, I put shampoo in my beard. I rinse it out, and then I put the conditioner in, and I let it sit in there the entire time I'm washing the rest of my flabby-ass body, so that when it comes out, silky, smooth goatee. You gotta respect your beard, Wings. You gotta respect your beard.
My beard is bigger than yours in 2 weeks of growing it.
What? Yeah, but you're talking about the whole
stuff. Beard off right now.
Win a beard off all day.
The Guns and Wings beard off. Now we're
guns
going for the
beard off.
You know what? I'm gonna have to post a video. Apparently, we're on the beard off.
Yeah, the beard off.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going for a ZZ Top beard too. So you had a look,
dude. You know what I wanted to grow? A Gandalf beard. I totally wanted a Gandalf beard.
I can't do the mustache. Like he said, I look like an Amish guy. Mustache. I can't have the patience to trim the bitch, and it gets in my mouth. So
you're talking all smack, but you can't handle the full manly Magnum PI shit.
No, I can't handle.
You know what I mean?
Are you ready?
Come on, man.
Beard off.
Are you ready for the beard off?
Blade, can you even grow a beard?
Dude, I have to shave twice a day.
We should so see Blade with a beard. Who wants to see
dude,
it?
Dude, Blade.
No,
come on.
No, because I gotta stay pretty, man. Like I can't be all
pretty.
I gotta stay
freak
pretty.
Bounce. He can't be in the club. Looking at the ladies.
Yeah.
Looking like a castaway
and shit. Like, when'd you get on the island, buddy?
I'm like a complete freak because I'm already married and, you know, I know I shouldn't say I don't give a shit anymore, but I don't give a shit anymore. So,
I give a shit. I've never seen a castaway fucking spinoff dude get some pussy, so no, I'm... I gotta...
Scraggly ass dude. He smells, looks scraggly. I like
it. Yeah, give it up. Mmm. Talking soccer balls and shit. Yeah, let me get some of that.
Go ahead and point this out. The man that's most desirable by all women in the world have a beard. Let me go ahead and give you a name. Let me drop a name.
Where are you getting
Chuck
me?
Norris.
Okay.
Name a woman that is not desirable. Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. I've never. No, that's bullshit. I've never heard like these 13-year-old kids that make comments on YouTube videos are freaking fascinated with Chuck Norris, but no, like self-respecting females would be like, ooh, what is Chucky doing? Yeah. Oh,
No. Feed Wings. I think this is good for the beard off. Go for the Chuck Norris.
For the beard off.
Before I got a bigger beard than Chuck Norris. I mean, I can grow hair everywhere but my head.
Wings, what is your beard to face ratio right now?
Oh, shit. I could probably take my beard and cover my face.
What are you like? Is it like an Amish beard? Are you Gandalf yet?
Yeah, I got an Amish beard going right now. I got a picture on my Twitter, but that was like a week after I started growing it.
Well, I can't grow it that damn fast, but dude, let me ask you this. Are you willing to put dreads in it? Because that's like...
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, like the dwarf shit. You know, like dread part of it or like braid.
I'm telling you, dude,
it.
It's actually fun. I mean, people look at you like a freak when you're shopping for groceries in the store because they're just not used to it. But the fact is that you have these little beads and they keep clinking together, and it's kind of fun to have, actually. And when you're making love to your wife, it really weirds her out. And that's actually half the enjoyment.
I don't have a wife or a girlfriend. That's why I'm at advantage on the beard off.
Well, your hand. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Maybe your hand's amazed by it. I don't know.
I haven't got to that point where, you know, you just constantly just rub the beard.
Oh, I do. I'm constantly sculpting it. Sculpting it. It's
you can do that now with a clean face. What makes you need a beard for it?
Everybody... You know, yeah,
Ray, you are the only one that don't have a beard right about now. So
yeah, because I'm trying to go out and get fucking laid. I don't have a girlfriend.
Hey,
girl.
See, well, me and Guns got that problem whooped already. So
I mean, yeah. I mean, they are. Look at that. They're two married men with beards. Maybe they're doing something. Yeah. You're right. You ain't Blade.
Yeah, yeah. No, but they. I guarantee you, they didn't have a beard in their wedding photos.
You know what?
Yes, I did.
You're absolutely right. And I never had a beard because I worked in insurance.
One out of two ain't bad. There you go. So
I worked in and only once I got out of the corporate world, which is the reason why I'm growing this. It's like a stab at the corporate world. It's like, you know what? I'll grow whatever the hell I want. I'll look as scraggly as I want because I'm not working in insurance anymore and I don't give a crap.
That's the same reason I started growing mine. I used to work at a place that only allowed 2 inches and you had to keep it neat.
I think you guys are lazy and don't like shaving.
I shave the sides, man. I shave underneath
like
mine.
Like I said, I sculpt mine. Like, I'll shave it because my hair grows up onto my cheek.
Oh, you sculpt yours?
Yeah, yeah. Your face is like a bonsai. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
It's like a chia pet, awesome. Son. You just got to keep it watered.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's even out this, hair face.
Go ahead.
Next topic. What do we got here?
Topic, if it's all right, Wings, unless you got another topic you got lined up right now. And it's a big one, and it's going to stir up a lot of crap. And maybe you guys don't want to talk about it, but I want to talk about Black Ops.
Oh, shit.
What do you mean?
Oh, that's Wings? That's Wings' subject right there.
I want to talk about how you feel about Black Ops.
Can we bookmark this topic and come back just in case? Because, like, there's... Every YouTube video is about Black Ops, so like let's switch it up, man. Let's switch up the program.
I know, but I just okay. Let me just put it this way: I'm sick of it. We've heard it before.
We're all sick of it. No one's like, hey,
everyone puts up the goddamn video and everyone watches it.
Oh no, I'm just gonna mention something. Ukrainian Limbs and Woody gonna put something together. Ukrainian Limbs came up with a brilliant idea, and he pitched it to Woody, and. If it comes out the way I think, I would put it all the way out there, but I think it needs to be sort of a surprise. Yeah. But it's going to have something to do with a lot of commentators on YouTube, and it's going to have something to do with a lot of subscribers. It's going to be a subscriber's choice, and it's going to coincide with March Madness. So y'all be on the lookout for that, man, because that's something.
He better not say shit about me, because I resurrected that, man.
I think Woody... Wings, a lot of you guys are going to be out of it because y'all got too many fucking subscribers for one. You know,
I don't have enough. I don't have enough.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm not in a million yet.
Do you mind shifting some of that shit my way? Because I would be more than happy to take some up.
How many you at right now, Big Snacks?
Man, I just hit 2,000. I ain't got no freaking subscribers. I got great subscribers, mind you.
What's the name of your channel?
Big Snacks. That's what it is, youtube.com/.
The way that I'm seeing it right now on Skype,
yep.
C-double-K-S?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to take a look at your stuff. I ain't going to promise you anything, because, and no disrespect, but if your stuff is shit, I'm not going to promote it, but I can definitely promote it on.
I always tell people like this, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink. I can bring people to your channel, but I can't force them to drink. Because
I'm not
going to
bullshit my subscribers, but if I like what I see... Man, I got no problem dropping you a line. Like, that's not an issue at all.
Snacks, $300 right now. Dual com.
You're such a piece of shit.
Like Wings.
$300 dual com. I guarantee to double your subscribe.
All right. Actually, how about this? $250 You do the whole video, so I don't have to just be bothered with dual comming you and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you just upload it.
You don't want to do it.
Some people have been trying to get me to do those fucking charity shits. He's like, I'll pay you. I'm like, how much? He's like, $50. I'm like, fuck you. So come back to me when that shit says $1,000. Motherfucker got offended.
Yeah, fuck those kids, man. All these polio having kids. Shouldn't have got polio then.
The day I'm at your event for $50, I could be pumping out a couple of videos and making...
I know. Hey, actually, okay, so there was this one charity. It was just like Call of Duty. I don't know what it was called, and I don't want to call out any names. But they kept on bugging me. I'm talking about my Facebook, my Twitter, and my YouTube channel. On the channel comments, on video comments, on the fucking YouTube messages, they were spamming the shit out of me, talking about, "Hey, could you help us out with this charity for gaming thing?" And I didn't know any knowledge about it. I didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, reputable or not. But I was getting so agitated that there's no way I was going to help them. So I sent them a link to this clip from the show Entourage, where Matt Damon is basically pressuring Vince to like donate money, and it was just like, dude, you're going about it all the wrong way.
So you're like, giving him a hint, an indirect hint, like, look how annoying this is.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing to me.
Yeah.
Clever. What a clever little bitch you are.
Shit, I would have said, I would have Rickrolled his ass.
Rickrolled him. Oh, my God.
I gotta
ask you then. Okay, so Big Snacks, hopefully, eventually you'll get here. Well, hopefully you won't experience this, but you likely will. But Blade and Wings, do you guys find, like, I mean, it's so frustrating now that you get up to a certain point. I don't know if it's the 200,000 mark or whatever it is in terms of subscribers, but as soon as you hit a certain mark, suddenly you become the target of more than just haters, but people are posting videos about how much of a, you know, a fake you are, or a view whore, or whatever it is. They start coming out of the woodwork like you're some evil person, and it becomes frustrating to me. Like, you know, at a certain point, I'm like kind of, you know, like I'm like kind of complimented by it. I'm like, hey, you're actually gonna attack me because you think I'm some big guy. But at the same time, I'm like why are you attacking me? Like, I'm just putting out video game videos. Like, I mean, you're making me out to be the devil.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys experienced that, but it's frustrating.
I actually did a video yesterday about that. I actually took my second video I ever posted up to show people I have never changed since I started doing this.
Yeah.
But the fact is, this is a job for most of us. We wake up, it's just like you going to work. We go to work. We make videos.
Mm-hmm.
We put our time in. There's been nights where I've lost sleep trying to get a video ready so I can have
it put exactly.
up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact is, if you're willing to put time in anything, you're going to have success. And yes, I get a lot of fucking haters, and I get a lot of people trying to prove that I'm a bad, quote unquote, bad player. Oh, Wings sucks. So on, dude, have you ever seen my fucking connection? Play.
Well, but we are.
I saw someone. Put up a thing that's like, hey, this is my speed test ranking or whatever, and it was like a thing on Twitter where you could see how fast your speed is. So I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. I don't remember what it was, but I remember it was like pretty cool. It was good. So I'm like, yeah, this is me. And then like Wings puts up a tweet, just like, real men play on this kind of connection, and it was just like minuscule.
I got a 0.1 upload. I got a 5.1 download
from Gator Country.
Yeah, I average like 360.
I don't remember what mine was, but mine was like 19 ping and like 60 up, 20 down, or something insane like that. Like, it was just like, I mean, I pay extra for the internet because this is like my job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like having hosts. I don't care what anybody says. Call of Duty is way more enjoyable when you have hosts. I don't care what anybody says. No one's like, oh yeah, Red Bar, this is fun. Yeah. No. Fucking.
I paid $200 a month for that connection too. That sucks.
What? Are you serious?
You pay $200 a month for what?
For
that crap you have?
Yeah.
He's got the tin can and the dental floss hooked up to his modem and shit.
Your connection is worse than DSL, and you pay for that?
All right, that's actually my step up. DSL down here is like 2.5.
Hey, you better
fence, my brother.
Hey, Wings, get yourself like a little TV, bring your Xbox, go down to like a Starbucks, get on the Wi-Fi, bro.
Just like the movie with you, Blade.
Man, I got a couch, bro. Like,
I got bed. I can afford some rent. You know, I got a job.
Hey, Blade, I got a question for you, then, dude. I'm actually curious about this, and I'm kind of actually pleased that I just heard this. But you said that this is you've made this as producing videos now your full-time job? Because I know you're a bouncer, or maybe even continue doing bouncing, but quite frankly, I mean, being
this is way better. This is my only source of income right now, yes.
Nice, nice. I'm actually glad. I'm glad for you, man. I think that's good. Not to take anything away from any of your previous careers. I mean, hell, I was a specialist in insurance. I made like around 75,000 to 80,000 a year doing that. I could have continued doing that, but it was a shit job. It was stressful. It was horrible. I had to face. Dude, I honestly, God, I swear to God, I dropped my kids off at daycare and stuff in the morning. I would go around, and I'm not even friggin' lying, I would go around the back of the building, and I would throw up before I'd have to go to work. I had to deal with lawyers, I had to deal with friggin' federal agencies and stuff like that, dealing with hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. It was shit. I am grateful for this, man. I love my job. I love entertaining people.
It's so funny because like what happened is I got fired from my job, and what happened?
Tell me the story.
No, this is some bullshit, man. Anybody that watches my videos, you guys already know this, but I'll recite it.
Yeah,
here we go.
Tell me, because I'm
wondering. The owner's daughter at my work, she started working there like 3 weeks ago, right? And she is a raging cunt face. Okay.
Yeah. Is she hot though?
No, she's not hot, and she was hollering at me. First came in there, and like it was a situation where I was in the back cooler, like grabbing a keg for the bartenders, and she came back there, and she was just like all like trying to be seductive and stuff. I'm like, you're the owner's daughter, and you're like 21 years old. Like I'm
nice. legal. I'm just saying
well,
she's legal.
Completely legal. No, she's completely legal. We worked wrong. But what I'm saying is just like your life experience isn't at my life experience, so we're not going to have anything to talk about, and you're the owner's daughter. If things go wrong and you get moved, I lose a job. So I left it at that. So what happened was a customer comes in, and okay, I'll let you guys know what it is. Do I drink? Yes, I do enjoy drinking. When I'm at work, I typically have about 3 to 4 shots throughout the night of working. I'm in a bar. Customers come in, instead of tipping me money, they'll say, hey, we'll get you a Jaeger bomb. Beat me a Jaeger bomb, I slam it, do my job, everything's cool. It's been like that for 2 years.
Hey, any of them recognize you as Blade? Like, only use me Blade? I'm just curious.
I've had 3 people at the bar recognize me from
that. That's cool, man. That's very, very cool. Very, very cool. Anyway, continue.
And so what happened was the customer came in. He came in just like, hey, how you doing, man? I'm like, good. He's just like, I'm going to go get that Jaeger bomb. Like, no questions asked. He goes up and buys the Jaeger bomb, gives it to me. Well, I take it, and the boss's daughter is staring at me. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, and she's just like, mad. And so then she comes up to me, and she's like, you can go home now. And I'm just like, there's another 2 hours left. And she's like, no, no, you do not drink alcoholic beverages in front of the bar. I'm like,
you just
had a shot like 10 minutes ago, bitch. Like, what is wrong with you?
Like, that'd be, I'd be like, do you want that dick now?
And so I didn't say bitch, or I didn't say any of that stuff. This is obviously in passing as we're talking about this.
Really?
But I was just like, you know, hey, customers will typically buy me shots. I will stop. Obviously, now I know how serious you take it. She's like, no, don't worry about it. You can go home now. So I she sent me home. And then
the owner though.
She's the owner's daughter.
Yeah, but she sends you home. That's bullshit. Like, you couldn't do anything about it, or
no? She's the owner's daughter, and she works there, and so technically she was, like, the manager on duty that night.
Oh, my God, that sucks dick.
And so then she goes and talks to her her mom, who's, like, the accountant of the bar, and who I've been working there for over 2 years. I've never actually met her. She writes down the little logbook. She's like, yeah, Brian Rizzo no longer works here. This and that, he does not work here. And so my boss, who I'm hella cool with, who comes by my house a couple times a week, he called me up and he's just like, bro, it says that you're not working here because of what happened on Friday. And I was just like, oh my God. So Travis gives me the number to get a hold of her, right? To get a hold of the owner's wife, because I know if I tried to call on the owner and he wasn't picking up, but apparently he was off in like Florida or something, and so I'm trying to call the owner's wife, and when I call, he'd give me the home phone, so it was the girl that was a cunt face. She's the one that answered, and I'm just like, oh my god, are you serious? And I'm just like, so this is Brian, the doorman. And then she's just like, they're not here. And I know I shouldn't have said this. And I really, like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, dumb move. But I'm like, you still live with your parents? Like,
you're dumb.
Like as soon as I said it, I'm like, okay, that's definitely not.
Yeah, you shot yourself deeply in the foot then. Just feet, no, just stand on top of them.
I'm like, how are you going to come at me and fire me and like pretend, like be like 5 foot nothing, but like look at me like you're looking down at me and send me home and be all Miss Queen Bee about the shit and you live with your parents? Get the fuck out of here.
That's a smart, how are you going to tell me that? Her parents seem to have the jack.
Shit.
Hey, but look here. I'll tell you where you fucked up at. When she was in the cooler and she wanted a little bit, you should have gritted your teeth and slanged the root. That's what you should have done.
No, that was the owner's daughter, bro.
If you would have slanged that root, she would have overlooked that little drink you had.
What was that? What is that? Slang that root? Yeah. Did you just say slang that root?
Yeah, you gotta slang the root.
Oh, dude, man.
Oh, come on. Come on. Sling the root, dude. The root. Really?
Hey, you guys have seen the movie Scarface, right?
Of course.
I love Scarface. All right. One of my favorite movies, man.
All right. Imagine if Tony's sister had like a drug problem, but she was still like
had already.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, but a drug problem, but also had like a donut eating problem. That's what this bitch look like. Like, that's the best analogy I can come up with her.
I love my Coke, but I love these donuts.
That's why I included the line, grit your teeth. I mean, all you gotta do is just look past her shoulder while you get in the cooler. I mean, put her back against the wall. The wall's gonna be cold as shit. You don't want to.
I don't think that's the sole reason. Like, she's been cleaning house there. Like, three people have been let go from that bar since she started working there, like, 3 weeks ago.
You know what it is?
So she's pretty much clean. Yeah, she's power tripping, and she's trying to clean house to anybody that's not going for it. And the funny thing was that she thought I was going to be all devastated from her letting me go, but I'm just like, you don't understand. I come to the bar and I work to just mix it up a little bit.
Full-time YouTube.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to gloat.
Like, I got that YouTube
gloat,
money,
but,
bitch.
But the YouTube money allows me to live more than comfortably. So this money that they give me for working at the bar, that was spending cash. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you what she did. She had some people in mind already that she wanted to bring in there, and it was probably some old friends that she used to work at another bar, and she wanted to bring those guys in there.
She's never worked in a bar. That's the thing, man. She's straight out of college. She's never worked at a bar. And so
I'm holding back.
Man, fuck it, man. I'm taking the shot right now. Let's do it, man. Come on, bring it on, bro.
You want a shot?
I still think you should have laid the pipe to her, son.
Hold on.
He probably should have hit her with the wood one time, because that's probably what she needed.
You call it out, Blade.
Yeah, but then it sounds like a big snack. Believe me, it sounds like she wanted some dick, and she got envious, she got turned down.
Okay, now, the way I'm presenting it makes it sound like I didn't give her dick, and so that's why I got fired. No, it wouldn't have made a difference for dick anyway.
I hear you, Blade. I hear you. I know exactly what you're saying.
You gave her the wood, and she'd have been all right. Yeah. That's all she
wanted. She wouldn't have been, man. She was power tripping. It don't matter if you give her the wood or not. She was power tripping.
It all depends on how good the wood is.
That's straight up.
What kind of wood you use.
Blade, I'm doing a shot right now. 3, 2, 1, doing it.
Let's go.
If you'd have hit her with that flick one time, she'd have been
all right. Oh, dude. Hopefully this podcast doesn't go another hour, because I'm going to be passed out in another hour.
Hey, I'm gonna be on a plane in a couple hours, man. I'm going to PAX, baby. I'm gonna let you guys go to. How come you're
you guys
come
are
on.
Lucky. You guys get to go all this shit. Wings, where are you? What state are you in? Are you South Carolina. I hear that's actually beautiful country.
It is beautiful, but I live in the swamp section of it. But
dude, you know what? I'll tell you a story quickly. When I went into the sort of swamp section, when I visited my sister who used to be a nurse in like one of those mobile nurses, she's Canadian, but she went into the U.S., and she was largely in Florida. She went into the Panama. I guess Panama is sort of the panhandle of Florida.
Yeah.
I went down there, and I'll tell you this, I don't even care. Panama City or whatever. But there was like swamp country out there, and I'll tell you this story. No one else never, ever, ever shared this story before. I dropped some acid her boyfriend's brother brought me some acid, and they're like, oh no, you never tried this. So I dropped it, and we went into like some backwoods hick swamp. Like, I'm talking like some crazy thing, like the sun was like never went to school shit type of shit. And we went back there. It was friggin' awesome, dude, man. I friggin' loved it. I thought it was friggin' the greatest thing. Like, I couldn't understand a goddamn word that those people were talking to me, but it was friggin' pretty kick-ass.
What part of Canada are you in, guys?
Right now I'm in London, Ontario, but I came from... If you look, I guarantee you, if you do this, I originally grew up in York, Jane and Finch in Toronto. That's where I came from. If you Google Jane and Finch in Toronto, likely in Google, you'll see highest crime rate in Canada. I came from an area where there was like muggings and rapings and murders, highest friggin' murder rate in Canada. It was absolutely insane. And my mother used to make me walk to school by myself, but whatever. You know, as a kid, you don't know.
Through the snow, uphill, 15 miles.
No. No, nothing like that. I was oblivious, man. I had no idea. We eventually moved. And then later it was like, well, you know, there was too many muggings and people were drowning in the river and people were killing their animals in the river. Like the stream that was like right near us. I was like, that's pretty messed up, man. I'm like, what kind of mom are
pretty
you?
Messed up.
What?
Gangs and Jane and Finch. Like, who the hell would rep a town called Jane and Finch?
Well, I'll tell you, I was one of the very few white people in Jane and Finch. When I grew up, I don't think I had any of my best friends, any of my friends, like close friends, I don't think I had one white friend. They were either Japanese, Chinese, Indian, like I'm talking about the, you know, South or Asia Indian, you know, Pakistani or Indian.
Yeah, nuclear people.
Or they were African American. An African American, I don't know, whatever, black. I don't know why you say it. I don't think black is an insulting word or whatever, but I don't know.
Just say it, hell.
But black. Those were all my friends. I was like, in Jane and Finch, I'm the minority. As being a white person, you are the minority in that area. And that's the way I grew up, you know what I mean? So, like, I find it amusing and I find it actually funny. And I do, honestly, when I hear you, Wings, talking about this stuff, because, you mean, I grew up in an area where I personally felt I was the minority. And even when I moved to a different high school, I was still the minority. There was gangs and stuff like that, lots of cocaine busts and stuff like that. And I was always the minority, like, where I was actually from. So I don't have any, you know... And I'm not accusing you, but I don't have any racial tendencies.
I ain't got no
or
racial
anything.
Tendencies. I mean, I invited no, big snacks no, on here, didn't
I'm
I?
Not saying you do, chain link fence. I'm just
oh,
saying.
Oh, time out. Cut the bullshit. Getting a black dude on the podcast is not like, oh, he's good. You can walk through. You can
like
walk
a racist
through.
Guy. It's just like yeah. A racist guy saying, hey, I got two black friends. Hell, you got two black friends? That don't what, disqualify
hey,
you from being a racist.
I can see.
Actually, three.
Oh, get out of here. They do not. Okay. Who's online? Black people.
Three
pure
now
online.
Because
stop.
I learned Marcus J was black.
Three.
He was white.
Oh, what?
Seriously. Who's that?
Who is that? We have a
That's
podcast?
My son.
Max, is that you?
That's my son.
See,
That's
now we.
Son? How old
now
is your son,
you know,
man?
Now you know four black that. People, Wings. You met
son,
a son.
Man.
But I,
how old is
I, I'm not racist at all. I just call it like I sees it.
No, you know what? And
so
you know what?
So sure, you can walk through Harlem and be like, "Oh, I had Big Snacks for the podcast. I'm good."
You know what? You got to give a little leeway.
I walk through Harlem.
In all honesty, you got to give a little leeway to upbringing and family and social and in regional sort of influences. And sometimes you can break free of that, but sometimes the stereotypes sit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I
grew up all over the damn world and the United States. I dealt with all kind of people. I'm a military friend.
From 0 to 60,000 subs, I was black.
My father was in the military. I spent most of my damn childhood overseas, man, so I dealt with all kind of people. It is what it is, though. You know, people are going to be people.
Your father, by the way.
Like, I can't say I can't say I'm free from racism. I hate North Koreans like a motherfucker.
Safe word.
But you know what? You can't hate North Koreans. Those people are scared as motherfuckers. It's the leader that you're scared that you hate. You gotta differentiate between the two, man. Because they're just like propaganda, just like anyone else, man. Those people are so cut off from the fucking real world that anything that
you know what?
Fucked up North Korean leader says, that's all they hear. They got no internet, they got no news, no nothing, man.
I have a friend that actually went there. You ever look at Google Maps and look at North Korea? Every other place in the world.
It's blacked out.
Every other place in the world, you can see roads and shit. Even in like Russia, you can find roads and shit.
Yep.
Not North Korea. That's just white.
Dude, if you look at it at night, it's a blackout. I actually had a friend when I worked at a law firm. I had a buddy that actually made a trip to North Korea, and he's actually a PhD student. So like he's like, you know, one of these. I don't know. Maybe he's a doctor now. You know, doctor because he has a PhD. But he did a presentation of North Korea, and I tell you that presentation freaked me out. That place is so cut off from the entire world. You can't blame the people. You gotta hate the leader. The people are completely cut off from everything. And I mean everything. There's no internet, there's no TV, there's no radio, there's nothing.
Let me interject this. Do you not blame the German people for what they did under Hitler's rule?
For North Korea?
No.
Oh, why are you bringing up old shit?
No, why are you bringing up old shit? But the fact is, even though Hitler died, you ever heard that the SS lived on? They moved to South America so they could regroup. I mean, the fact is, just because somebody influences you and you listen to it long enough, you eventually become part of that. You become part of the machine.
That's exactly what I was saying about way back when we were talking about politics. When your parents start talking about stuff, it embeds.
Yeah.
It's like a seed that gets planted in your head, and it grows, and you don't have any control about that. But you do when you're older.
All you know is one camp. How can you be influenced by something else? They don't know about the outside world, so yes,
exactly.
I can hate them, because they're the same person as King John Yeo.
No, I hear you. But you know what? I don't even think it's the SS that moved. It's just maybe relatives or someone that's actually been largely influenced by the SS that has sort of went around the world and has raised their children. Well, even regardless, though, even if there is, I'm not saying that what you're saying isn't true, but I'm saying even if people that are a product of the SS that fully sort of believed in the fact that, you know, Jewish people should have died in gas chambers or whatever, like fucked up shit like that, the fact is that if they instill those values in their kids, those beliefs start spreading. You know what I mean?
Do you even know why Hitler killed the Jews?
I got a Jewish black joke. We're going to talk about racism and stuff.
I mean, do you know why? You know why Hitler killed the Jews, though, right?
This is way less offensive than whatever Wings is about to say. Just saying.
Yep. Well, he killed them because he felt like they were overbearing his country and they were taking over stores.
No, he killed them because they were weak. The Jewish people have always been weak.
He thought they were weak.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say they were weak.
He thought they were weak. Let's go and word that right.
As far as I'm concerned, they're friggin'
in history,
horrible.
They've always been a meek society. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were slaves in the Bible. They were...
Mm. Well, look at them now.
I mean...
They're friggin' powerful, man. They're smart.
Yeah, they're
smart as motherfuckers. Do you hate them?
No.
Are you racist, Wings?
No, I don't hate the Jews. What do I hate the Jews for? Having
Wings
money?
Listening.
I want money, too. I'm going to hate money. What do I hate about them? But the fact is, that's the reason it is. Hitler didn't just hate the Jews. He hated, like, people that had special education. He had people that had bad breeding. Like, if you had an obese, like my ass, if I was alive, if I was a German citizen back in the day, I would have got a gas chamber because I have obesity in me. You can't have that in a perfect society.
No, I know. He wanted the perfect, I forget what the hell the term is, but he wanted the Aryan race.
Next topic.
What do you think?
Pineapple now!
Pineapple. Pineapple.
Oh, my God.
Pineapple. There you go.
Oh, Blade, you're cracking me up.
This, I mean, okay, I understand this topic. It's very, very well informed. I understand this is a very, very diplomatic. We're really diving into the deep issues here, but pineapple. There you go.
Pineapple.
You know, it's bad when you can't talk about World War II because people get oversensitive.
Pineapple.
You know what, Wings? You and I will discuss this some other time. How about this? How do you guys feel about Battlefield 3?
I think it's going to fail.
Pineapple.
Are you serious? No, pineapple. Pineapple,
how many pineapples? How many pineapples do I get? I don't know shit about any other game but Call of Duty. Let's not talk about Call of Duty, and let's talk about games. I'm the shit at Pac-Man. How about that? We're going to talk about DX?
You know what? I'm sorry.
There's been a huge debate, especially with me, about Battlefield 3. And the,
what is it?
Because I'm saying Battlefield 3, for it to fucking sell and to get an audience, it needs to take more calls from Call of Duty. Like, it took, like, the heads-up system.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
And a lot of people, and here's the argument against me, that Battlefield should not be anything like Call of Duty. They should have quality over quantity. But the fact is, if you ever want to be considered a contender in the FPS genre, you have to at least do half of what the first game sells. And Battlefield is right now just the best runner-up. They're still in the fucking low-ball category. Bad Company sold 2.5 million units this first month.
I have this weird feeling that Battlefield, like a lot of things that it doesn't do, it could very easily do. Like, it could be very, very easy for them to make it 60 frames a second, to make fluid controls, to do that.
But I feel they
don't do it, and the reason why they don't do it is because they feel they want to do something different than Call of Duty, but by them not doing that, what they're doing is they're actually hindering on the game. We like Call of Duty because of the tight controls and the easy learning curve. But they decide, okay, we're not going to have that because we don't want to be considered Call of Duty, but what they're doing is they're actually neglecting the thing that makes the game successful. That's like saying, I don't want to be like this comedian, but that comedian's fucking hilarious, but I don't want to be like him, so we're going to be really boring. That's what it's basically doing.
This is all hearsay, but this is what I think EA is doing. They want DICE to create a game that will sell big around the first month through marketing, and it'll sell, you know, 4 or 5 million units in the first three or four months, and then after about 6 months rolls by, they can cut servers, because Battlefield is a game that's hosted on servers, and if you have less players sticking around to play your game, then you have less servers you need to keep up, so you can cut servers and save money. I think they market Battlefield as a 6 month game, and whereas
I have an interesting topic that will lead into what you just said. Okay. Now, with CNanners, when right before Black Ops came out, he started doing the Minecraft videos, and Minecraft blew up, and it was hugely successful, okay? Do you think that the YouTube community, as far as people that posted videos on YouTube, since it's primarily, like, there's a lot of other games being put out there, but the majority of it, I'm gonna assume, is of Call of Duty, how strong do you think the power is of, let's say, the top 20 commentators doing videos on a game, how much that increases sales?
A lot. Look at it this way. I don't know if you follow my channel. Right about 2 months.
I do. I'm not buying Dragon Age, but I do follow your channel.
The fact is, Dragon Age Origins, I picked the game up, never played it before, two months before Dragon Age 2 comes out. And during that two-month period, Dragon Age Origins goes from selling nothing on Xbox Live to being the number one sold game on Xbox Live. That was
really
straight up. That's just me promoting the game. How many other people you see with Dragon Age?
Blade, you're biting your tongue. Let it out. Wings loves it.
I'm listening, man, but... Okay. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. XCal has put out like 50 videos of what is the Fallout thing. I haven't clicked on not a one of them, and I'm a huge XCal fan. So, but every time he does a live commentary on Black Ops, the game that I'm not even that interested in, I click on it. So, I don't know.
Well, see,
I don't know.
There's a difference between a Let's Play and just telling people about a game. If XCal made a video and showed like clips and scenes of Fallout and didn't do none of the other videos, say made that one video, he goes, yeah, you get customized weapons, so on and so forth. This, you sit there and be pulling on your beard. Well, you don't have a beard because you're not a man. But...
Oh.
But you'd be sitting there pulling on your chin and be like, man, I might have to pick that game up. You know, Battlefield's getting, Black Ops getting kind of stale. That's the kind of thing that's the kind of thing you got to do. You got to drop the subtle things and just give a review of the game. Like, I gave
But YouTube is Call of Duty driven, man. It's just
driven.
Like,
and that's the reason. Like, that's the reason I want Battlefield 3 to succeed, but I know it's not going to
succeed. You know, one of the reasons why YouTube is Call of Duty driven? Is because it's a universal language that we all know. Everyone's familiar with Call of Duty. You might not even like Call of Duty, but you're going to be familiar with Call of Duty. Like when I play other games, if I play other FPS shooters and I upload it to my channel, what I'm going to compare it to is I'm going to compare it to Call of Duty because that's what I know. It's like going to another country and I speak and people get all pissed off. Like remember when Halo came out? That was a big deal.
You got to do that, man. You got to do that because majority of the of the people watching them, majority of the YouTube knows Call of Duty. It doesn't matter if they hate it. You got to make the comparison because the majority of the gaming community knows Call of Duty.
That's like telling someone to stop speaking English. That's like telling someone to stop speaking English.
Yeah.
That's the fucking language I know, though. That's the language I know.
You've been Call of Duty for 3 years, and everybody's been watching your videos because of Call of Duty. You throw something else in the mix and see what kind of reviews you get. See how your views drop off of that video. You might
good example. I played this game called Shank that's on the marketplace, right?
Yeah, I know Shank.
I had a fun time with it. It was really, really fun. I liked the game. I put up a video of it, and it did about a third of the views of every other video. I gave it the same amount of promotion, gave it the same amount of time to grow. And people
are
watching.
But is that not frustrating for you, though, man?
It is. It's
like
very frustrating.
You can't go out of the Call of Duty realm without people smacking you in the ass.
Here's my take on it. Okay,
I'm
the fans that like me for my personality and this and that, right? Those people will watch whatever we put up. I'm never gonna abuse that. But I'm just saying that there's gonna be people. I still had 50,000-60,000 views on that video, but. The most people are more comfortable. Like, if something pops up in my sub box that's not Call of Duty, I'm very hesitant to click on it, even though I'm bored with Call of Duty. If someone puts up something that's not Call of Duty, I'm less hesitant to click
Everybody
on it.
Wants to watch your videos, because if you don't put out a Call of Duty video, Blade, you don't get super fast, blah, blah, blah. You don't get that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's your trademark.
I'm gonna put the gauntlet down for EA. If EA, a representative, is sitting there right now, if you make Battlefield 3 approachable for bad players, I will support your game 110%.
Yep.
For bad players.
Listen, I know it sounds really bad. Okay, all the stuff that the elitists, that the top Call of Duty players complain about in the game, those things have to be in there, else we wouldn't have new players coming into the series and making it that popular.
Yes.
Okay,
so stuff like Last Stand, RCXD, all those things are like for new players that never played the game. Like, this is really cool. I had a buddy when we first started playing Call of Duty 4. He's a complete noob, and he used Martyrdom every single time. And I'm like, you know that everyone that plays this game thinks that's the most annoying shit. Is the douchiest, most annoying shit in the world. He's like, it's so fucking awesome, you know? And I'm just like, okay. So there's a group of us that play a shit ton of it, okay? We are a very, very big part, but we're a small percentage. Does that make sense? Like, okay, remember when they said quickscoping was getting taken out of the game, this and that, stuff like that, when Black Ops was first coming out? The majority of the people on YouTube were super butthurt about it. But I guarantee you, if you were to take a national survey of everyone that was buying Black Ops, that it would only be about 10% of the people that were up in arms about the snipers getting taken out.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Of the community, of the YouTube community, since we're even though we're a huge community, we're still only like 5-10% of it. The 9 out of 10 of us were pissed off about the sniping. So what people do is we tend to look at these YouTube comments and look at these YouTube commentators and say 9 out of 10 of every single player that plays Call of Duty is upset about it. No, only about 9% of the players are upset about
it. It's real simple. I just want the game to be popular so I don't have
give
to
me
play
my
Call
respect. That was biblical right there, man. Like,
I just want the game to be popular so I don't have to play Call of Duty for another year. I want another game I can put up.
I agree, Wings.
But the game can only be popular if it's
approachable by bad players.
No, if it's a similar game to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
If you try to, Call of Duty players are not going to adapt to another first-person shooter because it's not similar to Call of Duty.
That's what I'm
they want something
say.
As close to Call of Duty as they can get, so it's easy for them to learn, easier for them to play, and that way they stick to it longer. If you make something completely, totally opposite of Call of Duty, the average Call of Duty player would not play that game because it's something that they're not used to. See what I'm saying?
You know what?
But if you,
you
put it close enough to Call of Duty, but it's different, then they'll play this shit. But if not, they're going to put that shit back in the box and send it back.
They think 60 frames a second is and tight controls.
Between, like, exactly. Only use relate. We're going to use...
Oh, was that a slur? Was that a slur? Let's take a shot. Let's do this.
Dude, okay, you know what? I'm going to do that just because you amused me.
Hey, listen, hey, I got
borderline of not functioning anymore.
Listen closely.
I'm going to do one more shot.
Go Cowboy. Go Cowboy.
I'm going to say this.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear this. Hold on. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
All right, ready to go.
I'm going to say this.
Hey, listen. The Battlefield 3 versus Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 hinders largely on... Don't laugh at me, dude. I'm
You're
barely
getting twisted, conscious. Though. You're getting twisted. That's the funny thing.
I'm barely conscious. Believe me, I'm following... I'm following you guys. But here's what I'm saying. Is they don't have to come towards the Call of Duty play style. They have to come somewhat towards it, in between, halfway between, something that's going to be different, more challenging, but still at the same time that the average gamer is going to be able to pick up, jump in, and actually be able to actually play a game.
Tight controls and pacing, that's what I was about to say.
Exactly, tight controls, that's what I'm talking about. None of this running and having the camera friggin' joggle back and forth like you're friggin'
let me say this.
Drunk. Kind of like what I am right now.
There was one,
you know,
Battlefield game that I still hold as the greatest game of FPS ever. If I had to go pick the perfect FPS, it would be that game. And it was Battlefield Modern Combat. The reason Battlefield Modern Combat was so great was because it had the tight controls and the pacing, and it had all these other nice features. A bad player that plays on the weekend, or let's call him a weekend warrior, something less prevalent.
That's the majority of the community.
That's the COD community. He can get on, he can do what the fuck he wants, and still have fun doing it, because there's all kinds of stuff. But, and then the diehard, which is the YouTube community, which is the biggest voice, can do what they want, because they have all the other features as well. But you just got to make the game more fast-paced. The bad thing about Battlefield Bad Company is spawning in at your fucking spawn and having to run to the fucking C flag, only to get shot from somebody that they don't show you where he's at. Then you spawn back at the respawn after a 10-second delay.
What about that
fucking
video, though?
Again.
Exactly what you're talking about, Wings. What about that video? I don't even have a link to it, but that video where they have like 500 fucking points from spawn killing. I don't care if it's set up or not. I mean, that's the bullshit.
You're talking about the Havana video where you go 508?
Yeah, exactly. That makes me fucking hate Call of Duty, though. Dude, I look at him like, I'm done with Call of Duty.
No, time out. The rule of Call of Duty, okay? The rule of Call of Duty is, it's fucking awesome when you... It's awesome when you do it. It's shitty when it happens to you, okay?
Exactly.
But it didn't happen to you.
I knife the fuck out of people all the time. I love it. I fucking giggle.
Only
when I
blade.
Did, Well, when I fucking hate people that knife me, though. I think they're faggots. Like, I don't like people that knife me.
Yeah, but 500, though, dude. 500 is fucking absurd. It's ridiculous.
But that's the extreme situation. They were able to expose... it's almost like a glitch in the game with the whole spawn trapping and sit behind people and knife them.
This is how shit Call of Duty is, so
it's not a glitch in the game. The game is completely broken. When they put this shit out, the game was not finished. They put the game out to make the release date.
I'm not debating with you on that. They put out like a half finished game, and because it kills two birds with one stone. They don't have to finish a game, and then when they actually fix the game that they haven't finished, all these people are like, "Oh, you really care about us? You're fixing the game." I'm like, "No, fuck you. You should have fixed the game right the first
they
time."
They ain't fixed shit on the PlayStation. Yeah. PlayStation still sucks.
No,
And I'm sorry, that sucks. You know why I think that sucks? Is because I built my channel around PS3.
I did too.
Like, I built around PS3. Yeah, exactly.
This game was made for Xbox, and they ported it to the PlayStation because they knew they could make a ton more money than just making it an Xbox.
I gotta say this is the first Call of Duty that has a disparaging graphic interface. Like World at War, a little bit, wasn't much. COD 4, about the same. Modern Warfare 2, about the same. Black Ops, all of a sudden they can't, the system can't handle Call of Duty. What is it? That's bullshit. That's what that is.
Dude, they're okay, in the lines of code in the PlayStation 3 version of Black Ops, in lines of code, they actually forgot to take out the words Microsoft and Xbox 360 in a bunch of those things. It's
exactly.
Like a copy. Yeah. The game was made
for Xbox and Xbox only. They just ported it over for PlayStation and Wii because they wanted to make all that extra money.
Yeah.
This game was never intended for PlayStation 3.
Now, my question is this. Why is it that the connection is better? If I go on PlayStation 3 right now, the connection is better on Modern Warfare 2, a year-old game that we're all sick of. The connection is 10 times better on that than it is on Black Ops. I don't get it. I don't give a fuck about stopping power.
Well, I know you don't, but I'm just saying, for me, I have an easier time on the older COD games because of stopping power, because my connection sucks so bad, so killing people in less bullets helps me tremendously.
No, absolutely, I understand that, but what I'm saying, though, is why is a year-old played-out game, why is there better hit detection and better connectivity on that than a thriving game? There's more people on Black Ops than Modern Warfare 2, period. No questions asked. So why is it that the connection is that much better on an older game? Like,
because this game was unfinished, and they weren't able, and plus they're stacking these games on this server. Y'all think they got extra servers, and they're stacking all these games, COD 4, Modern Warfare 2, and Black Ops. I guarantee you, all three of those son of bitches are stacked on top of each other in the same freaking server, in the same freaking warehouse, and that's all they're doing. Haven't you noticed? COD 4, good connection. Modern Warfare 2, okay connection. Black Ops, shitty connection. The next Modern Warfare gonna have a worse connection than damn Black Ops.
No, I don't. That's the reason why I don't think so. Okay, now I know Infinity Ward's not making it, but whoever's making it, like for whatever reason, the Treyarch connection. The connection between Treyarch,
you know,
it's shit. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. Okay. Honestly, if the connection was better, if we had dedicated servers. All right, here's the thing, Guns. I was looking at your channel, man. You have 300,000 plus subscribers. I got 300,000 plus subscribers.
Yeah.
I could fucking Skype Hutch. Let's get them. And Hutch was talking about this on the You Ain't Grizz Baby podcast. Let's get all the big name YouTubers, like we have a supposedly not power, but we have an audience or whatever. Let's figure out how we can make it to get dedicated servers. That would make the game so much more enjoyable.
That would be
for
awesome,
everyone across the board.
But that might have been the whole point in the beginning anyway. To get dedicated servers. If you can charge 3, 4, 5 million people $5-6 a month for dedicated servers, plus they've already paid, $60 plus me, I paid $140.
But here's the thing, though. You have to be able to still cater to the newcomers. So a newcomer, when they're like about to buy the game and it says, hey, you got to pay $5-6 for online, they're going to be like, I'm good. Leave me alone. So I, the way that, this is my personal opinion, in order to make that happen, you need to charge, instead of $60 a game, charge $65 or $70 a game, and that, those extra $10 a month, those extra $10 for the game, well, I'm assuming, I'm no mathematician, I'm not an accountant, I don't know how much dedicated servers would cost, but if a game like MAG, which was not fun at all to play, was able to have was able to have dedicated servers, I understand that you're going to need more servers for it, but if you charge an extra $10 a game, we could have dedicated servers, and that would make everyone across the board happy.
It really doesn't cost that much more to have dedicated
servers. Let me be a devil's advocate about dedicated servers. I'm coming from a PC standpoint. Just imagine how many fucking Sniper Lobby, Nuketown-only servers would be up every time you logged in.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying
that's what,
like,
dedicated
what I'm
servers
talking about.
Are. That means they can create their own game thing and set the rules to it every time.
No, but what about dedicated servers strictly for console, where you don't
that's
have control
about.
To set up your own copies?
The thing with PC is that PC is more like a hardcore gamer thing. And so I know that we never really incorporate that. That's because we talk about consoles.
Well, PC used to be a hardcore game. PC game destroyed now.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do. I do.
you may be
that's
talking about
just podcast.
Yeah, I have nothing but respect for Dr. Disrespect and all the PC gamers out there. So
Dr. Disrespect plays on Xbox.
I understand that, but I want to make sure that he hears that. Dr. Disrespect, you're my man, okay? Don't take the knife out. There we go.
ACR, Dr. Disrespect, no recoil.
Awesome stuff.
We got to go ahead and start winding this down. What's the last thing on the dedicated server thing?
I just think that the dedicated servers for the consoles, it would be a more enjoyable experience, not only for the hardcore gamers that play it a lot, but also for the players that are just getting into the game. It would be less frustrating and more of a skill based thing. I think it'd be
I don't think they need to add anything though.
Just imagine how many servers it would take to control of Call of Duty though. It's not like one server does the whole game. It doesn't do it that way.
Servers are not expensive. If you make the call,
oh, here's the thing. If the next Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 was $70 instead of $60, everyone would still pay for it. They would still pay that extra money. We're not going to pay $60 for a game and then say, "Oh, we need to refill our monthly fee." That's not the case.
Yeah.
I have no idea how much service costs. According to Guns N' Hire, it's not that expensive.
No, it's not.
Do you think that if every copy of Black Ops that got, or let's every copy of the next Call of Duty that got sold, if they were to say charge $70 instead of $60, that
doesn't even matter, man. The propaganda and the marketing that Activision has sort of got a foothold on, even if they added $5 to the title, the fact of the matter is that these additional servers do not really cost that much more money. The amount of money, look at Black Ops, $1 billion in revenue, man. Easy could afford dedicated servers.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Here's the thing that y'all are forgetting. Activision makes a lot of shitty games on top of Call of Duty, and they rely on Call of Duty to pick up the balance.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of prostitutes. I got like 5 ugly ass girls, and I got the one winner.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They got the one. They got the one. You know, $400 hooker over here. And they got a bunch of tens over here. And the fact they sell these tens out so much to try new things and try to get more things. They lose money with these $10 hookers, and they expect this $400 hooker to take up the slack. And that's the reason you don't get dedicated servers.
Okay, so let's improve the ten. Let's just improve the money hooker. Let's just improve the money hooker just a little bit, because I don't care about the other stragglers.
About their bottom line. And if making a decision on the next Call of Duty lessens sales on it or lessens money revenue, like let's say they make $900 million instead of $1 billion on the next Call of Duty, that's a loss for them.
Okay, Wins, right now, if you were, okay, this is an analogy. If you were a new YouTube commentator, you would try something new and different. People would be like, fuck off. But if you were an established YouTube commentator, you have the freedom to try different things, right?
Okay, and they would still watch.
And we would still watch. What I'm saying is, I think that through 7 or 8 Call of Duty games that have come out in this franchise, that is, I feel that it's built up a large enough audience to to have the leeway room in order to do something like that. If it was a brand new game, then it couldn't really try anything new. But it has the ability, it has enough of a following, there's so many people playing Call of Duty, that it has enough of a following to be able to say, okay, we're gonna charge an extra $10 because of the dedicated servers. I think that there might be a couple people who are like, oh, fuck that, blah, 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 but we dedicate enough money, we dedicate enough time into Call of Duty that you would justify spending the extra $10.
All right.
Like, there's $60 games that you could buy and play for 3 days.
I'm down to spend $10 a month for dedicated servers. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
No, I know, but you're a hardcore gamer, though. You're a hardcore gamer.
I spend $500 a year for dedicated servers.
That's but you're going to keep the average gamer paying $10 a month when you're already paying. You're paying for your
ass for $60. Leave that shit alone.
I'm saying your average gamer, your dude that just plays off and on, that don't play as much as we do. We play every day, you know.
Yeah.
We play all the time, you know.
I depend on the noobs that don't know what the fuck they're doing in order for me to make videos. That's what I want. I do not want to discourage that. All these people talking shit to people that are doing bad in the lobby, I'm very caring. I want to know how they feel about it. I want to make sure that they feel welcome and at home. So, like, all these people, like, you have to make sure that you stick to the business model that of attracting new people. That's what I'm saying. Charge $70 out the gate, because if you charge 60 and then say you're going to charge $5 a month, you're not going to have as many people come in as if you just charge 70 from the get-go.
Look at it this way, Blade.
Right. People fuck up an extra $5 or $10 on the initial payment to play the game. You know, it's not going to kill anybody because people are paying. They're already spending. I spent $140 because I bought the whole package. I got the freaking car and everything. So you know, people are spending that $5 or $10 extra dollars.
Look at it this way.
You bought the car?
I got the car.
Look at it this way, though, Blade. Let's say you lose half your fucking community because of that $5 fee. It's a bad thing, right?
Well, You're not gonna lose half.
It's a bad thing, though, right? You lost half your community, but that $5 for over 12 months is $60. You just sold two games to one person, so half your thing just equaled your full thing again. So if you only lose 30%, let's say you go down to 70, you're still coming out ahead that way.
No, I get what you're saying, man, but like, Call of Duty 4 was big, Modern Warfare 2 was huge, Black Ops is massive. It allows you to keep on building. So, what I'm saying is the reason why Call of Duty is so successful is because it allows the noobs to first come in, that the new players, it allows them to play. Like, everyone, when we first started playing Call of Duty, we didn't know what the hell we were doing, and then eventually either we stopped playing it, or we got really good at it and learned all the ins and outs of it. So I do not want it at all. I do not want at all to be able to deteriorate from new players coming in.
Blade wants a preserve for noobs to roam freely.
Hell yeah. Hey, I'll say this right. That's how I make my videos. Anybody that thinks that I'm going to go into game battles or I'm going to go into a competitive or I'm going to go into some try-hard lobbies where fucking dudes are drop shot with 74 using FAMASs, you think I'm going to get a game? Yeah, keep dreaming. It ain't happening. I like Christmas noobs. I like fucking. Hey, yo, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do, man. Kill two birds with one stone. This is what I want to do, okay? I want to find, like, one of those retarded children's hospitals, and I want to get them a bunch of Xboxes, and I'm going to play against them to think they're getting to play with Blade, and I get videos at the same time.
I'm going to call you Wings, too. Anyway, dude, I'm, like, about to pass.
Yeah, we're about to shut this down. So, that's been Painkiller already, episode 45. We've had Gun for Hire, your boy Big Snacks. Yeah, boy, Blade. All their YouTube channels will be down here in the description of the link thing, a bob on Podbean or whatever. And Dice, hit me up. You want to sell your fucking game? I'm the man you need.